I'm interviewing Frida Shiwadursky, 208 Charles Avenue, Boardman, Ohio. Now that's yours, Frida. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. Where were you born?
It's not important then. Born, the date you mean?
Where and when?
March 15th, Medish came. You don't want to see a paper or something?
No.
I have the paper. 1924.
Is it a small town?
It's just a village. It's just a farm village.
Uh-huh. What section of Germany is it?
East Germany. It's now East Germany.
Uh-huh. What large town is near it?
Kordjuten. It's not a large town. That's just like a church village. The church was there, and we went for confirmation classes in Schoppen. That was the little village.
What did you raise on your farm?
Everything. Grain, you know, potatoes, chicken, cows, sheep, geese.
Did you work at the farm? Did you help?
Oh, yeah.
What all did you do? What were some things you did?
Well, later on when I got older, you know, I had to do things, help already, you know. I was 10, 12 years old, I had to help.
Did you milk the cows?
Yes, I learned that. I don't know what age, but early enough I know.
What kind of tools did you have on the farm?
Real regular stuff like what we have today.
Same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, machinery too though, but a lot of stuff that we did by hand.
Uh-huh. How many acres did you have on your farm?
40. I don't know how that is over here. 40 Morgan. An acre is a little different there, I think. Here, acre and Morgan in German over there, that's, I think the size is a little different.
But it's close, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what was, in your growing up during the early 30s, were you aware there was a serious depression in Germany?
In the 30s, I was. We went to school, and we noticed there was some friction, you know, especially we grew up. At that time we were on the Lithuanian, right on the border. We were on the Lithuanian and German. Really, we talked German and did, but in school we had to have each day a Lithuanian class.
We had to learn
Lithuanian. And we German kids that had German parents and spoke German at home, we did better in the Lithuanian class than the kids that had parents that talked at home Lithuanian. We didn't get German background at all.
Uh-huh. Were your grandparents?
They were mixed. They were all German. All my parents were grandparents.
Uh-huh. Were the German descent?
Yeah, they are German descent. And then we got later on put back to Germany, you know. But that was before, around Hitler time, you know. I was 33 that passed that, 36, around there, 38 I think, I'm not sure, when we got back to Germany.
Were you real close to Poland?
To Lithuania, though. Not so far from Poland though. And the Memel was the river where that was a bigger river, that was the border really, from Germany and Lithuanian. That was Memeland. There was a little, I could show you on a map, there's a little tiny, like a riverbed, that's 150 miles wide. That was that country there that we lived.
Uh-huh.
That was German, really.
Uh-huh. Well, what were your schools like? What was it like going to school?
Well, we had smaller schools than what we hear now, my goodness. We learned everything in school. There was just start out to first grade, second grade, up to this, you know, that one teacher had all the, up to the middle school grade, all in one room. That was the section, the first graders, the second graders, and so on, you know.
That was like a one-room schoolhouse that we had here.
Yes. And then even the high school, the other grades later on, where we, I think we were 12 or so, we went to, it was the same school, but a different room, though. And then a different teacher, you know, he teach the older kids, the high school stuff.
What is the thing that you remember most about school?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you think of any stories?
Oh, we learned pretty good. I mean, students that want to learn, learn. Students that don't want to learn, you know, hardly learned how to read and to write in those years. There were some students. There are students now like that, I think. But, but I don't know. I liked to go to school and I learned and I, like, you know, I got all the grades and when I cried when I had to stay home and help for father or mother someday, I would rather go to school. I remember that.
I love school. How far did you go in school? How many years did you
have? Had to walk about a mile was our school.
Were you involved? What were your holidays like with your family? Like, we have Christmas and
We did.
And Easter and stuff. And what did you do?
We had them too. I know we had, you know, relatives and we got together around that time. And horse and buggy with sled and on that of Christmas time, we visited each other. And sled. And we had, I know, we had aunts and uncles, you know, like, and we got together, that's what I know. We had to sing. We kids, the school kids, you know, and such, we had to perform there, Christmas days or whatever we had. You know, I don't know.
It must have been fun having the horse and sleigh.
Yes. And then we didn't have telephones at that time. When some kind of message had to be brought to aunt or uncle, we had to ride a bike. Or when the weather order didn't permit, you know, we had to walk. Oh, and our relatives were 2-3 miles away. Well, it was really a little far to walk. But we haven't done it on bikes lots of times.
Did you have a hard time during the Depression, the early 30s, when money was so difficult and the government was having a tough time?
I must.
Or did your parents keep it quiet?
We kids didn't feel much, but I'm sure we were kids. We didn't worry about that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But we heard later on that they had it rough around that time. Some had to sell off a property or a couple of horses or something just in order to survive or to pay taxes or what do I know. Mm-hmm. They had it rough. Nowadays we think we're not going to have it so rough. We still have it rough. Isn't it rough? Life is rough. Mm-hmm. No matter how you plan or do it, it's difficult to.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a sister here, not far from here. She married an American. She came here for a visit and then she met him and she stayed here.
Yeah. Well, in your growing up years and stuff, when Hitler was coming to in the 40s, were you aware of this? Was your family aware of it? How did it affect you and how did you know about it?
We were happy that he was coming. We didn't know nothing bad about him. He just gave us, there was more work. We could sell our stuff, you know. We couldn't even sell our grain or our pigs or whatever we raised that time. We couldn't eat them all either. we needed money, that I remember from my parents. We couldn't sell those, the products that we had. And soon we got back to Germany, it went better. We all had made better out. We could sell everything we planted. We were free, we could talk. You know, we were afraid to talk German when we were under the Lithuanian that time. That didn't bother us either. We came along with all the bother with the neighbors and with the... So...
Did you have, were you involved, did you go to any of the youth camps or get involved with what were they like and what did you have to do?
I like to have them here, the brownies or the Boy Scouts or that stuff. That's what we had. Oh, and the kids like to do that. I like to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
You participate, you sing, you do some sport, you know. Really everything all right for the kid to do. You don't know any better and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was, oh, I like to sing anyway, so I was there where singing was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How far in school did you go? I mean, how many grades did you go?
Up to eight grades.
Then did you go to a vocational school or did you take training or what did you do
after,
for a profession?
No, after school, that was it. I learned sewing or doing just home ec. That's what you learn. Mm-hmm.
What did you
home.
Do for a job then after you finished eighth grade?
I was home. I stayed home. I helped on a farm.
Mm-hmm. When did the war begin to affect you when Hitler's move and it started the war? When did you become aware of it?
When did that war start? I have to think.
It was 38, 39, going into Poland. Yeah.
Well, yeah, around that time.
At one time you went into Austria.
Right? Well, yeah, then later on we heard all kind of stuff.
Did you hear about it?
Yes, we did. We just had radios about it. We heard that one run. To the other, you know, one neighbor came and heard something and then came and told you that. And
how did your neighbors feel about this? What was going on?
Different. We had different neighbors. But the people like Mimel and all them neighbors, the farmers, they all felt almost the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they feel that Hitler was doing anything wrong, or were they just glad he was there to help their economy?
Yeah, that's it. Till later, the war didn't change a lot of, thinking or appreciating or something, you know. Then the guys had to go to the army, you know, and they took them there, and the war was nothing.
Did your dad have to go to the war?
No.
Because he was a farmer or what?
Yes, and he wasn't well either. He was sick. He couldn't go anyway to war.
How about your brothers?
But our neighbors, my brother went, or my neighbors, and I had one brother. I have one sister here and one brother in England. Yeah, he went, he had to go.
Well, whereabouts did he fight? On the Polish border, or where was he? Did he go into Poland, or where?
No, later, they were too young, they came, they took him later on, the end of the war, later on.
Uh-huh.
Once they went into Russia, when we got involved there, we had to leave home and all that stuff, you know, they came back. Pushed the Germans back and we had to leave our farms and everything.
What did you do then?
We had a wagon and put our something to eat and blankets and stuff like that in and we took off. We were afraid from the Russians. You know, they captured you, they took you to Siberia. That's what we had then too, you know. Rather, I had a cousin, yeah, and he was in the army there, that east side there. And he said, he warned us, don't stay. The Russians coming, and if we, you know, losing the war, you better take off if you have a chance to take off, to go. So I end up, my mother and my sister, we end up going to Denmark. There where we were for almost 2 years or so in a camp just. And we lost all our relatives during the war then, after the fleeing, you know. And then we found each other later on, you know. We had an address in West Germany. And we made out when we should get through it in our life, we write to that and that address and we might find us, and we did find us. And my brother got captured in England. And he stayed, and he's today in England. He married an English lady there, and he didn't know for nobody, nothing, so he had a start there.
Well, now, when you went to Denmark, where did you stay and what did you do while you were there?
Yeah, we were just in some camps there.
Was that called
army,
this place?
Like army camps. They're just empty camp, like barracks there. They made room for us there.
Did you go to school or did you have any classes or what?
Well, we had some kind of little jobs there for us younger people. They had helping cleaning up or working on a kitchen or in a...
Did you do anything to help the war effort, like plant gardens or work in the factories or do anything like that?
Right in that camp and up in Denmark there, they asked for younger people to... I have to think even, what the heck did I do? I was working there for maybe a week or two. Then, I don't know, my mama didn't like it. It had something to do. We had just clean some stuff. It was something like a little factory. I can't remember what that was. It was not, bullets or stuff like that.
What did you do when you lost contact? What happened to your father? Did he go with you and your mother and your sister?
My father died before the war. During the war, before we had to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my sister was small then. She is 11 years younger than I am. And we had our grandparents, my mom's parents, with us. It was hard.
Gosh. What did you think, what did you think as the war was drawing to an end and you realized that Germany was going to lose the war? Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? I mean, what were you concerned with? You were older now, and what were you concerned with?
Really, if you can do nothing about it or change it, you just hope that it will work out somehow. You just fear for your own life, that's all. That's how far you just think. And we were sort of glad we came out. We got to Denmark. We knew we are under human beings. They are under people that, they did treat us all right in Denmark. We got to eat there enough.
Did you know any people that, as the Russians came in, were unable to get out in time?
Yeah.
How were they treated? Do you know?
We have heard that some. Especially some older people, like 70s or 80s, they thought, well, what they're going to do to us? We're not going to go, you know? Why should we go? Well, we have heard that I don't know, I haven't seen it, but we have heard that they have murdered them or have taken them even away. We had friends, neighbors. he married, now later on, he married a girl that was in during that change, or she was, they took her to Siberia. She was there for 6 or 7 years, I think. And she told the star things, see.
How did you
how
have
hard it was to make a living out there. Oh my gosh. She, well, and then but they didn't have enough teeth. They had to work here, you know, out there. They had some farm work to do or factory work. But now, that's what I heard from that lady that was in Siberia. But what we fear, you know, our fear was we better go before we have to go to that.
What were some of the things that you took with you when you left?
Oh, not very many things, really. We had to leave our wagon on one port, on one seaport, you know, on one city there where the boat took us. So we just had just a suitcase and just a couple of clothes. And maybe some papers that we had with us there, pictures or something, not very much.
Did you know of any of the Jews that were persecuted, or did you have any friends
we
who were?
We didn't have them, but we have heard that. And now we see it here all and over, you don't know what to believe. Was it really that way? I always think that. But I think there was something that they bothered those Jewish people.
Well, it's usually just a few who do something like that.
Yeah.
How did you happen to come to the United States?
We had an aunt here. And she was here since 1924. And she, we were in contact with her after the war again, and she, you know, she was there where we found each other too. We wrote to her, and she helped us, she sponsored us. I was in the meantime married over there, and then she wanted some to come over. She wanted to help us. She did help us a lot. She sent us packages of over there. We were in Denmark then. We found her then already, you know, we knew. And she sent us clothes and stuff from here. And we were glad about that.
I should say.
Oh.
Did you have food? I've talked to some people who practically starved to death. How did you at least have food in Denmark?
Yeah, and Denmark was not so bad, but we still feel like my aunt sent us packages. We even got some, she sent food too, clothes and food, and I can't say that we were hungry or starving. We always had to eat, not so than today though, but not like some citizen people out the cities when we hear.
In Denmark, since Germany occupied Denmark, did they do much other than the occupation there? Did you feel that you could come and go as you wanted?
Oh, no.
Did you have freedom there, or were you restricted?
We were restricted, all right.
How about the Danish people at the time, do you
remember? Yeah, oh, the Danish people, some were very nice, and some were not so nice. But I was out in that one camp. They came and asked to help us. We went out helping them picking potatoes or stuff like that. They came and got us with a little bus or a little truck or something, and we hopped on it and we went there, and we got lunch up there, and we could drink milk as much as we wanted when we were done up there. And they gave us even potatoes or something along, I know. That helped when we brought something home, though. But some were very nice. I mean, some, the farmers, the ones that went out to help them there. They treated them all right.
But in this camp, did you have your own little place to live, or like a, or did a whole group live in one big room?
Well, we had barracks there. We were about 15 to 20 people in a room. We just had a bed, a double bed, you know, bunk bed, and that was about your little suitcase that you had. You didn't need it much more. And just, is nobody here? I have to go on the phone. Should I go on the phone?
How did you cook? Did you cook like in a group, or did every family cook themselves?
No, we got fed. There was a big kitchen, like an Arabic kitchen, big pots, like they cooked for us. That's what we just had some dish to go and get our food. We got it. Sometimes we could eat right in the same room, there in that kitchen, you know, or sometimes we brought it to our room.
What did you do to pass the time while you were in that camp?
We did play cards and we got to go out and see movies. They showed movies. I went to every one of them a couple of times. I know. Just, and we did sewing. We did
knitting.
Knitting, and we got some. They brought over in the office some from the factory, some little pieces of, like, you know, when they make sweaters or skirts or dresses, and then we unravel that. And we knotted them together, and we made sweaters on pullovers. Not what we did. We did a lot of little hand work.
Did you do anything that would help the boys in the service or anything, like make bandages
no,
or Red Cross?
No, we didn't. We didn't do it there. Huh.
What are some of the experiences that some of your friends had? Do you recall, or did you ever get back in contact with any of them?
When you say what we did, how do you say it to that? Bins, and I don't know how to say it in English. And we did some weaving on some braiding. We braided them together, and then we made
braided
pockets. Pocket, handbags. And stuff like that. And I know we were very busy one time. We did a lot of them. I don't know. I was even in charge of it for a while there. They brought us in that stuff, that material, to make it. And we made bigger ones and smaller ones and real nice ones. I haven't done one since then. But that was a shop. To do something there. We didn't get nothing for it, we just did it. And then they had some kind of church group, some ladies or somebody there. They held some kind of like a meeting, and then we sang some songs and we wrote them down, and we had books and books written down from that time, all kind of songs just.
Did you get the news of what was going on with the war?
Oh yeah, well, the war was, gee, when did I come out in my bag? 6:45, when did the war end?
45.
We got back pretty soon after that. They let us go back to Germany.
And where did you go when you went back?
We came to around Hamburg. Hamburg is Holstein, Schleswig-Holstein there. Yeah. We found there that my uncle and my aunt was there. And see, while we were in Denmark, we just had to come down there, and on a train they let us go. My mom, I was around 20, 21 years old then already. I was 19 or something when we went up there, and then, so yeah.
Did you ever go back to your farm?
No.
That would be in East Germany right now.
Yeah, it was in East Germany.
Have you ever kept in contact with anybody?
We did almost went back once. I meet them and we did go back. And there was, I mean, the fighting or what was further out, and they said we can go. And we were on some farm for a while before we went over to Denmark. And then we tried to go back, and then it wasn't long. I couldn't tell you how long, maybe it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Not even that, we had to leave again. Mm-hmm. And it was sad. Everything was, nothing was there. The house stood there yet, you know, and there was no cow, no animal there anymore, no. Everything was taken, the grain and the stuff, you hardly could survive anyway. No.
After the war was over, were you able to get clothing and food? Did they bring in things for you, or what happened? And who did you first see, the Americans or the French or the British, or who did you see first?
Well, after the war, we came back to Germany then.
Yeah.
There I met my husband, and there where we started all over then. Oh, it was hard. We got some kind of, marking is what in English, some kind of papers that we could, food stamps, almost like that. That's the way they started out, till it got better. Well, in a couple of years, it took a while. You know, you had so many stamps for butter or milk or eggs to buy, bread and all that. That went for a while, that food stamp stuff. We still had to pay them, but we at least got them. You know, a lot of people, I think it went on, you know, when you had the money, you just paid it and you got it from underneath when you knew somebody.
The black market.
The black market was there.
What kind of money did you use? Was the mark still, were you able to still use the mark? Or?
The mark changed on our wedding day. We had our mark, whatever we had, was the other day it wasn't good. You know, we got new day mark, new money then. And each person got just 50 mark. 50 mark, and that's the way we started out.
Regardless of what you had, everybody got 50 mark.
50 mark, 50 new mark, guilty mark, you know, our old mark was not good, so they made a new day mark there. Chancellor Adenauer was that time, what did he start the new republic there, see? It worked out all right, went.
At least you had something to go.
Mm-hmm.
How about housing? Where did you live? Because Hamburg was so badly bombed and you were coming into Hamburg.
Yeah, we came, well, we never stood there. We were out on a out of town a little, or plenty out of Hamburg. We got by Neumünster and we bought there a little bit of land and we built a house. My husband and his brothers and father-in-law and all, we all worked hard. We started building a house, one house and then another house, and had a house later on there.
That's how you got your start then?
Oh yeah, that's the way we started. And then we left the house that later on when we came over here, though.
Are you glad you came?
Oh yeah, we thought, well, we're gonna, you know, we had something to pay off there too on the house. So, well, I don't know. My husband probably wanted to know better about that house and how much it cost to build it. And when we came here, we thought, well, we go over here. Well, we had an aunt here. Her husband passed away, so she had two children. She was not alone, but we made that big step. We went over here. And we thought, well, we work for 5 years and then we go back. Then we pay our house over there. We're going to save and want to go back. We never went back.
Do you still have your house?
No, we sold the house quite a couple of years ago, you know. But we had the house as long as my mother lived. He lived in it then. Yeah.
How often have you been back to visit?
Oh, we did go back. As long as we had Mom there, we went back quite often. With children and everything now. Quite a few years by, went by.
As you look back and see the different things that you see on the television and newspapers and radios, is it amazing to you what all went on that you were not aware of?
A little bit, yeah. I don't think I can believe everything I hear now or see. Especially the Holocaust, I couldn't watch that or couldn't believe it. I never watched it either. So, it is...
It's very devastating, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
But us, we had... nobody bothered us or we bothered nobody else and I... We had no...
Well, it's a period of history that
is very
interesting.
I guess we, as kids, we took it the way it came, you know. That you can change it, you have to live with it.
Was your mother ever fearful that anything would happen to you if you associated with Jews or said politically that you disagreed with Hitler? Did you worry about it?
No, we did. Never
you didn't get involved?
In that. No, we never got that far. We never got involved.
You were just happy things were going along better than they were.
Yes, we were happy the way it went. We had no fear for nothing.
Do you recall your parents saying anything to you about what it was like after World War One, the struggle they had before you were born?
Yeah, I do.
What was it like? What did they say about it?
The war is not good. It's always a struggle after a war. But they really struggled too. Oh, yes, we were tiny, small kids and they had it very hard, that's what I hear too. And then my daddy had something after the war, affected from the war, you know. And
was he in World War One?
Yeah, and he didn't get the rent maybe, or the, what he really should have gotten. You know how they wiggle themselves out and their papers, he didn't get the right papers the way he should have gotten. He should have gotten money, you know, some, what you call that?
Disability or something?
Even not quite disability, but some. Well, that's why it was hard right here. Well, my mom had to work hard. He got more and more disabled. Daddy on the head. She had it hard.
So was he injured or something?
Oh, he got laid on his, like Parkinson's disease when I hear now. That's what I remember my daddy had. Mm-hmm. And I hear it had something to do with the war. With the head, he had some operation on the ear or on the head. I believe it. That's something had to do with that, you know, that he got that. And he couldn't work, and the kids had to work then later on.
Yeah. When you were little kids, what kind of games did you play and fun did you have?
Oh, we played.
When you free time.
Like, you know, like outside, just school kids, like, all kind of games we had, fun. When I should say, well, I don't know which ones. You know, just all the kids grab their hands together and we have some kind of singing and a couple of go in and do this or that and they go out and they slap each other. Ah, all kind of little games, you know.
Did you ever get involved in gymnastics or anything like that? Like, because Germany's always been known for great physical strength.
No, I haven't.
Did you
like
in
school?
Do you think it's because you went to a country school and it was way far out or what?
Oh, they had all kind of stuff there for gymnastics. Mostly the guys did it more than the girls. We played games or stuff like that with the ball, some kind of Volker ball, they say it. I don't know what's up here. I hear this word in English. I like that game.
Well, what was the greatest adjustment you had to make coming to this country? What was the thing that was most difficult?
Well, most of it was the language, I think.
Had you had any English in Germany?
We tried in Germany. Once we knew we got to come over here, we got all kind of little, what we could find, you know, the Yid booklets with words, but you have to be here to learn it. That's we never want to learn it, right, but we learned enough to come along.
Well, I was in Germany. I forgot all the German I knew, and
it was very difficult.
I love Germany. I really enjoy it. I think it's beautiful. It reminds me so much of Ohio.
Well, you have after
1970. I was in 1970, and I just dearly love Germany. I think it's a beautiful country. Reminds me very much of Ohio. I got homesick.
Yeah.
I went through England and Wales and Denmark.
England is nice too.
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous, but I got homesick when I got to Germany because it just seemed like it was Ohio.
It's nice, yes. No, well, especially when you live a little more though in the country, it's different when you visit the city. There, each city has its own look, you know, his own style and history and what do I know, you know, all the buildings and nice to see there, all those castles and I haven't seen them even.
Growing up, did you go to church on Sunday, and what did the church do for you? What did they
Yes,
help?
We went. I know, some. We had to walk about 3 kilometers at this, I think it's about around 2 miles, I think, is it here, 3 kilometers. And the horses and all, they were tired from working the whole week. We had to walk to church then. And Mama that came along, Daddy mostly time couldn't. But Mother wanted us to you know, to raise, so we know. And we got there. And then I had to go to confirmation class, you know, like every other kid. And we had to walk then. Once a week we got there together too. Oh, it was a nice
Which church did
nice
you go to at the time? Lutheran?
Yes. We had the Lutheran church. That was almost all what we had. The whole surrounding just had one church there. There, we heard there was someplace a Catholic hall there. They met. We didn't have very many Catholics. Just a few. There, really just a few. I don't know. Farmers. The farmers all were Protestant. Here and there, there was some factory worker or so that they were Catholic, and they didn't have a church, and they met them someplace.
Well, you being in the part of Lithuania too, you were moved back and forth before World War One, and then after World War One, and then the government moved back and forth.
Yeah, the government did. The parents, they stayed there.
Estate,
or what you call it. Yeah, there.
The country was switched around, but you just stayed put on your farm.
Yes, we did. That's what I hear. We didn't have to leave the farm. Second World War done.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you take any of your animals, or did you just leave the animals and get out?
Yes, we left the animals. Even the horses. When we went on the boat, we had to leave the horse and wagon there. Now, you know, you get attached to those animals.
Oh, yes.
It was hard to leave them.
Yes, well, it was...
It was so frightening when we... First we wanted to go with the wagon over some island, you know, over some... And then it was winter time. And we couldn't go and come along over that island. There was not a road I don't know why. That took us, if you want to go, you go over the ice, you know, over the water. It was frozen. And then the people were in haste and everything. They drove up too close, you know, and they just fell in the water. wagon, horse, everything. And we were there on that water, or maybe a half a mile off that ice. And then we turned back, and we thought, no matter what happened, we had our Oma and Opa, you know, the older people there. And we know, oh, in the winter time, how long you want to swim? Or who going to care if you get caught there in the water or not? Everybody's in the same boat, in the same shape. Everybody wants to come over that ice and get to the other side, you know. And that was a disaster. So we got away. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people got fouled in that water.
Were they trying to cross there, that Baltic, the end of the Baltic Sea, and then getting over to a shortcut?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. What time of year was this?
January.
January.
And then we got cut off very there. We had to wait. We were like singled in, that means like surrounded. We sat here, and around us was the Russian already. And the bomb, the shot, everything went on. We were almost, they captured us almost, and then they opened one side, some, you know, and we, Flüchtlinge is what in English, all the people that were on that tractor and the train, they could go. They let us out. We came out out there. Then we got to that pillow later on, to that city, and we took a boat, and that was the end for our horse and wagon, and that's the way we got to Denmark.
Did they lose a lot of people on the ice?
They did. I'm sure they did. Yep, they did lose people.
Anxious to get away.
Even on the boat, they had those mines in the water. The boats got on the mines. Oh, we heard that too. That those boats that went from there to Denmark, to Copenhagen. Well, that was the main city.
Well, there were all those little islands.
Mm-hmm. And then from that, we got there. We got all right there. I mean, and we got lice and we got everything on that trip. I don't want to think on it, really. But
when you got there,
comes all with it. You know, all the people go together, all in hundreds of in one, you know, in that boat, in that room. All. So we got over. We got over, all right. That was a good thing. And then they took us on a train. We drove all the way up to the north of Denmark. And there, then we got in some kind of army barracks.
Were you able to see the ocean and the water from where you were stationed?
No, we couldn't. However, when we looked on the map where we were not far, you know, really.
But you never got out of that camp?
No. We stood there. It was a couple of camps that I was in even. They took us in that one, and later on they started sorting us, you know. We came from Mameland, you know. We were not even real. We were not Lithuanian. They thought we were Lithuanian more than Germans. So we should have some kind of privilege. They took us to some kind of international camp. We came out of there. We made good friends there in that German camp where we were, you know. And the people cried when we left there. And we got in some international camp later on. And the food was maybe a little better there. But I don't know.
Did it have anything to do with the
people? The people were not so nice than what we were up there in the other camp. They were somehow, I don't know, we were somehow too German for them. We were not Lithuanian, we were not Polish, we were not this or that. When I fared there, I saw sometimes there were some guys that looked at you if they could do you something to you. Sometimes they even said, but I know I said, was das für polnische Wirtschaft? That is it. German.
Did the Red Cross help at all?
Well, the Red Cross had something to do with that international thing there, international camp. All the foreigners, more or less, were in that. The Germans, they had to stay up in another camp. Hmm. And then in one camp, Christo. I was beginning of 1920 around there, and we had singing there, the church, they formed a choir, and I went and sang there, and then on Sunday morning we went and sang in a out of the camp in a church, but that was real close by. The church was 200-300 yards away maybe. All the people could go in the church. And we had a choir there. We had a choir director and everything, and a piano player. And we had nice music, nice stuff we learned there. That, we enjoyed that while there. That's what we did in that camp.
Were you aware of the American and British planes coming over and bombing? Did you ever see it?
In Denmark?
No. Did you ever see it from where you were?
As long as before we got out there to Denmark, we seen, yes.
Because you went through Hamburg, because there was so much in Hamburg.
No, in Hamburg, that is when we came after them.
Oh.
See. Before we left home, we heard planes, Russian planes, flying over our nights, and so we had to close up and make in the windows and don't have lights on or stuff like that. They bombed areas, farmers even got bombed. then, well, they got, when they got closer, you know, with the planes, yes, we had planes. They had, the day we walked up there, drove up to look there. Sometimes it was just in a field, you know, a bomb. Sometimes even a barn or a house was bombed. That gave us something to think then when we saw that. And we could hear. We were listening and sitting in the house, and we could hear the different motor, different
sound,
yeah. Like we knew that those were Russian planes up there.
Mm.
And then those cities, they must have had gone through something. We were just farmers. They didn't bother with the farmers much. But the cities, they got leveled off.
Your brother, you say, was captured. Do you know where he was captured and sent to England as a prisoner? Apparently,
yeah.
The English must have captured him.
No, I think he got captured in Holland, and then they took him to England. Yeah, the English, you know, the English soldiers, or the, was it even the American, I couldn't tell you that, captured him, I think, in Holland or here.
Was he?
He was paratrooper. What was it? Yes.
Do you stay in contact with him?
Yeah. He visited me too. Well, he's supposed to come here, but looks like he doesn't.
Well, things are pretty tough over there right
now.
Yeah,
too.
He
got hurt. His back is not, and he can't. He just can do something by sitting. I hear he had to retire earlier. He is retired already. He's younger than I am.
Well, did he get injured? Do you think when he was in the army or being a paratrooper?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. He got out there too on a farm. Well, he was a farmer. Some farmer took him, and he had to take care there of cows, pastures, or stuff. Big farmer there.
Did he get any special training? What is he doing now?
Well, he went and did some kind of what he is doing now. They trained him to do. He could just sit and later on and do some kind. He had to test something. Bad parts. Some over light, he said. Just he had that went over there and he had to look what effective parts or so. He had to take him out. He just checked something now. And I'm not even sure if he still does it or here he is retired.
Did he get any kind of a compensation from the German government for being in the in the war?
No, not that I know. That he gets it or will get it, I wonder. Once he
retires,
yeah. We will talk about it one of these days. Really,
do you have
I
any friends
sure.
right now or family that you're in contact with in East Germany or East Berlin or
no.
the part that the Russians are in control of now?
I know just from my neighbor. He is, that's his cousin there. His cousin is in East State, right there in, at home where we all left. He was even in West Germany, and he decided he going to go back home. And he did go back home. He thought he going to be able to go on his farm. No, sir, he didn't.
He didn't get his farm back.
No. He has to work for some kind of, he works on a tractor, just runs tractors and
for the community farms.
Yeah, co-ops.
Co-op farms.
That they have to take care. He never got his farm, no. That's what I hear a little bit. He is in contact with them here and there. We hear. But he is not doing too bad, I hear. Yeah, he's married and has family, and the kids are already, you know, and they grow up like that over there. They think nothing of it.
They think it's okay.
Yeah. It's, I guess it's a little better now, too. They are at least, they don't hunger or do stuff like that.
They're not
much.
Hungry.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Not much more, I don't think. I mean, and some, we here, you know, even in the club where we are, they have relatives or sister or brother yet there. And we here, they some do pretty good even.
Mm-hmm.
In East Germany, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do, I hear from some, if you do what they tell you to do, if you do everything, if you, you know, go along the way they want you to do it, then they don't bother you. Fine. You have everything. They have even cars up there, and drive cars and all that. How could you, you know, if you just work for a little living, you couldn't have a car. But they are
slowly
exceptional, good jobs and all that too.
Do they ever contact you to see how you're living, or are they anxious to find out what the rest of their friends have done?
Oh, well, our friends there, our former neighbor was, he wasn't here, but he came up to Canada. His sister was there. And while he came to Toronto there, we drove up there just to see him then, and we were in camp. And then he is more in contact with old friends and old neighbors, and he tells us them all kind of things, though.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy like that. He can remember everything, and he can think of everything. You can talk for 3 days with him. He never quit. He has so much to talk and to tell you. It's a joy to meet him. We don't meet too often, but when we meet, we go out of our way to meet him.
And talk over old times.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice talking over old times, remembering old friends. And
yeah. On old work, we worked together, you know, and came together, and we had our little fun. We had our record player. He was the one that operated the record player. We had just that old-fashioned record player, you know, with it. RCA too, when you see it. That's the way we had when we danced and did then. Once we had our farm job done, I know it was a big job always. Threshing. Well, that is a word that, you know, like you, the corn and the wheat and the stuff, you bring it to in a barn, and then some kind of machine came to you, and we had to get, I don't know how to say it in English. Nowadays they go on a farm, they're on a field, and they separate right away the corn from the
combines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not that time it wasn't quite that.
When you had the thrashers come in, you really had to cook, didn't you? Like
then,
lots of food for them.
Yes, lots of. And then we all come. A lot of neighbors came together. We need more help. Yes, and then we had to cook, to feed them, and to work. And in the evening we had some music and some fun, some dancing. As tired as we were, we danced till the almost till the, you know. Yes, that was.
Sounds like fun.
That was some time, all right.
Had a good time.
And when you see them, people now, after so many years, that it's still fun, and it is, you appreciate it. It is your old country person.
I am a new country, but you still remember so much.
Oh, yeah, you will hang on to that a little bit. We met a lot of people here, and we are very satisfied now here too. We have here a lot of people that are immigrants.
Yeah.
Maybe their parents came in already, but you hear it over and over. They all came somehow.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Yeah. sure.
Can you think of any other good stories you can tell me about your growing up or anything that during the rise of Hitler and while the war or just after? You've done a good job.
Yeah, sometimes. Oh, now we calm down very much, but the first couple of years after the war, you got all shook up and you couldn't. You got nights, you know, you had nightmares. In the nerves or something, whatever it is, that doesn't.
Probably because you're under so much stress and just torn up.
Even you were young and you could take more, but it still worked on you somehow. That calmed down there. I haven't had not a bad nightmare. I mean, you dreamed you were writing that war or something, you know, or were scared to death. Now it is. That's why I don't even want to think, not on that war or nothing. I don't want to even get reminded. It's done. It's over, and I don't.
It's history.
Don't talk very often about it, even with my sister. I think as long as she is here, I think we talked once or twice about it a little bit. She was so much younger than me, but she remembers some things that I don't even remember. That stuck in her mind, you know. She was 10 years old, 11. And she tells me something, told me sometimes, yeah, you did this and you did that. And Mama wanted to give up already, and you took the line on the horse and wagon and you drove, she said. If Mama wouldn't have had you, we wouldn't have gotten there, she says. I guess everybody was scared. Somebody had to do it, you know.
Have you talked to your children and told them all this?
We have talked.
Not
too often, yeah. We have
should.
Talked about it. My husband, he was in the war, you know, and he has lived through different things, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you were fleeing your farm with your horses and stuff, did you stop and eat, or how did you manage to eat, or what did you do?
We just had mostly some sandwiches, some smoked meat, or just butter and bread, and we took some along from the farm.
Did you take
it? Very seldom. We found something on a road or they had warm meals even in some places, but very, very seldom. We just, like my grandma and grandpa, they got very sick. They got their diarrhea that we could cure them. Some kind of, you know, the older people, they couldn't take it, they couldn't fight it. No matter what we did, and we didn't have stuff. Hardly a doctor that was in the camp when we were out there.
Dysentery?
They took him even to the hospital. Grandpa had to go to the hospital. But they couldn't help him either. I lost my grandma and grandpa in about 2 weeks.
While you were in the camp in Denmark?
Yeah.
Do you think it was bad food?
It was hard on all of us, you know. We liked them and loved them, and we took them along no matter what. We didn't want to leave them, you know, for the Russian to kick or to shoot them or something, you know. So we thought we do what we can do. They really wanted to stay, too.
Oh, they.
Yeah. We are old, and why should we go? We're gonna, you know, not gonna make it long anyway.
How old were they at the time?
They were on the 80s, 79, 80, 82, they were 82 when they died, it was around there, or 80s, 81.
Well, did they get something like dysentery, or?
Yes, they must have, they couldn't, they couldn't eat, they couldn't drink, they couldn't, that was like a diarrhea, you know.
Was it like influenza?
Yeah, that must. And the word for it, the German word for it is, Qatar, like, it's on mostly real young children or older children or people, and looked like it was catchy. People got it very, very, that was bad. Mm. So that's the really lost Oma and Opa real quick there.
Well, were they buried there in Denmark then?
Yeah, they are. And my mom, when before, and my aunt here from America, she went to visit then later on, mom. And she had a brother, and she had another sister over there. They all went to Denmark. We went to that Friedrichshafen. Friedrichshafen was the city where we were up there. And they went up to that cemetery, and however they got through, I mean, they couldn't talk in Danish, or they just talk German. They got the information where they were. We just had a number or something. I don't remember even what Mama got that time. And they just had little sticks there with the number on, I think. We just seen the graves once. We were not allowed to go there later on, you know, family. That was in a cemetery. Maybe not quite on their cemetery, so on a site where they put their Flüchtlinge down. That where we had, yeah, where my mama and her sister and brother went to go and see it. They want to see the place where Oma and Opa is. And it was hard for them. It's like for everybody. I mean, it's this.
Doesn't matter when
it
happens.
It's a different country, and the time that went by, and the time that took them there, and, you know,
it's
that all.
So hard.
Yeah.
So many changes.
And us younger people, it didn't affect so much than it did my mom. Affect. She was really depressed and down that it had to happen.
She
that
lost
it happened.
Your husband, her mother, and her dad?
Yes, and on the farm, and she thought, no, what? No, without.
Now, what did she do when the war ended?
Well, we kids, we found it, we kids were around. She stood with us. We went to work, and she cooked, and we built a house there, see, and she got a little rent, you know, a little monthly. That much she made it.
Something like
that.
Social Security?
Something, yeah. You know, she was off her farm. She had to live from something. She got some Social Security. I didn't call it that way. But she got monthly something. Each kid got so much, or the mother or the father or whoever it was, they got that much. Oh, and most of the people, we found jobs, you know, we did whatever we could, or we went to learn something or so, you know. We took up some, I don't know, I always had enough to do. Soon we came back, we married, and then we built a house, and then we had kids, and there was enough to do right away.
Were your children born over there?
Two were born over there, two over here.
Mm-hmm.
So they were really small when we came over.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, and that was Karen, that was the kitchen. He was 2 years old when we came over.
Mm-hmm.
And the other daughter was 6 months. So she didn't even spoke English, but she...
Did you come through Ellis Island when you came?
No. No, we watched that. That was some time ago, something on TV. I watched, I couldn't watch every day, but I watched some of it, but I don't know.
Where did you
land? We came through New York. We had to make papers, you know. Immigration papers.
Did you fly or come by boat?
No, we came by boat. we could have flown. I don't know, we were afraid to fly or something because they had those two little kids. They told me, us, we could have flown, you know. We should have done that. We were about 8 days on the water. We were sick 8 days. Oh, boy.
That's for sure. It's an experience, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with children confining.
The little ones were not so bad, you know, the younger kids. But we were glad we seen New York again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a journey.
Mm, I should say.
Well, then when we came over here, my aunt and my cousin came to greet us, so we were done. We had it made.
It felt good then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And we learned English real fast. I know my husband went to work there with my aunt took him. She worked some places and she introduced him and we learned the language and we worked.
Where did your husband end up working?
No, he's for himself. He works for himself, but he worked. No, he won't tell you.
Okay, yes, you don't. Don't
where he worked, I might even be wrong. I just, you know, all
that's okay.
Setup.
Now go ahead, tell me.
The Polish people, they had the same way, like Mimeland. We had Lithuanian government, so they had Polish government, but there was young people in. The Polish government took some part of that Germany over after the First World War. They couldn't pay their debts or what it is, so they took a part of the country, part of the land there.
One thing I was going to ask you too, why do you think that the hate of the Jews came out so much under Hitler? Why do you think so? Be very honest, whatever you think. Why do you think? I've heard different stories. What do you think? Why did Hitler particularly pick on the Jews, so to speak, as a religion?
Yeah, I think, well, Jews have their own style of doing business. First of all, they're in a business. What you hear, a Jew has always some kind of business. He is not a farmer or works on a farm. He has a manufactory or he has a clothing store or whatever. I mean, he has something like that to do. I think Hitler wanted them out. He wanted a clean German country, not this mix. Now here in America it's all mixed and it's fine too. Doesn't bother me what my neighbor is or thinks or does. But I think that's that time. That's the impression that we got. He wanted to clean out Germany when the way we seen it and heard then, that was done. We as Germans, we didn't think could do that. Could anybody do it like that, you know?
Do you think it was all Hitler, or do you think it was the men working for him?
I think so. There were the whole government was working. Probably him, mostly. He probably had the idea to go through with that. But he must have had enough people that did it with him or for him. Otherwise if they were all would have been all against that, they could have done something, they could have got rid of him or something. I don't know why it came this way, that nobody did nothing about it before.
Do you have any idea, could you answer me this one, because this has bothered me, why did the Jews not fight back when they knew they were going to be eliminated or executed? Or why didn't they fight back? Do you have any ideas?
Didn't they try to? They tried, a lot of them
did
try to get out of Germany. But whatever I read or whatever I get in my hands or do, it's always sad. It's always, they didn't have any other choice, those people or something. They just cut them. They just, that's what I see and read in books, and I don't know what really, should I believe it or not.
It just seems so, but it can happen.
Oh, that must
it can
have
happen.
Happened.
It can happen, but it can happen again too if you're not careful.
Oh, goodness.
If we're not
Let's
careful.
Hope's not. Let's hope
it could
not.
Be some other people.
Yeah. That is for sure some hysteria right there. They will not let go to sleep, that history. They push and show and remind you, and I'm sure it's hurting and it will always hurt, but I don't think they should always bring it up.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
It
I think it's overdone. That's why I wanted to do this. Because
it doesn't change.
Doesn't change it, but it seems like every time we turn around, it's back on the television.
Yeah.
And there's other sides to the story that they're not telling, too, about the suffering
That's
of
it.
The German people, how they
yeah.
suffered, too. That's what I wanted to do, this.
Yeah, we don't.
Because look what happened to you. Look at, your family.
That's it. That was naturally, that was not naturally either. That came with the war. I mean, that was, I guess, Hitler's fault, too. He lost the war. We had to go. He was unkind of death. The whole world went on him. He first of all, he had attacked the whole world. So he should have figured to get beaten. You know. That was not really wise. That's all.
That Germany has always been such a proud nation.
Yeah.
And high quality. Educationally and engineering and the highest of, and then to have a leader, it's too bad.
And that did happen, and it had to happen, and it, we all know how he started and how he got there and what he did.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
In such a short period of time,
yeah.
he was able to do that too.
Well, he had wrapped up the plane. Simple people like us or them, they all believed in him. We didn't know what went on there. But
don't you think the truth was hidden from you?
I think so.
Sure.
Sure. In newspapers and I think we didn't read it there. No? Yeah.
And how can you do anything about it when it's already
yeah,
out of
you
proportion
don't know what,
before
yeah.
you find out?
Yeah.
You can't do much.
Or even you would have tried to do something, then they would put you in there too.
Did
put
you ever
you
know
jail.
Any? Did you ever know any people that were, just objected to Hitler? That
yes,
got taken. What happened?
We had a right. You couldn't be too much against it. Or maybe he knew maybe more than I did. That's why he was talking. But we heard from that person then that he was. That he had trouble, that that took him away, or they had him for some kind of question, came back, but they watched him then. There were people like that, but maybe we had a big farmer, I don't know, a couple of hundred acres he had. He was a big shot there, a big farmer. We heard from him that they had him there.
Do you think they bothered the farmers as much as they would bother the people in the cities?
I think the fact that the cities were worse off than the farmers, sure. We went after our daily business, though, more or less. But the
you farmers
bigger
were providing the food, too.
The bigger factories and offices and banks and all their stuff. A lot of like shoes and so forth, and banks, bankers and all that. That
they control the money.
It's all right with me. They did whatever they did, but there were people that didn't like it and did it and bothered them. And that, no, we didn't hear that until it was too late. And then we couldn't do nothing anyway. But we have felt sometimes, even here, that it's a nice country. You feel pretty soon at home. But still, we meet sometimes some people, they think, well, that's a German, and the heck with him, I want nothing to do with him. Yeah? Or not very many, not very many, they don't bother us anymore, people like that. Most of the people are all nice here. And my husband especially has done a lot of work for a lot of Jewish people. He will tell you probably he has nice customers there. And that's the way it should be. That's the way we should come along with each other.
Sure. Sure. OK.